I do it for my family. I do it for my mom and for my dad, who's always believed in me. I do it for my teammates who believe in me and who have always been there for me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Armand, and welcome to Yes I Am Podcast Season 2. Our goal is to be relatable to you, and we come here to get inspired by our peers, by listening to their stories. And our guest today is Naya Bachner, our volleyball player, and I'm just excited to talk to her. How are you doing, Naya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I always come to these conversations with a very open mind, and I leave this conversation very inspired. And I'm pretty sure the story that you're going to share today is going to inspire me and so many other people that will be watching this episode. So Naya, let's just jump into it with the first question that I always ask. It's a very simple question, but It leads us into a very interesting journeys. And that question is, Naya, what is your story?
I would say my story is one of finding growth through adversity, and growth in ways that you necessarily wouldn't expect to happen. My story in college with sports has been a roller coaster. As a lot of my teammates know, like, I've really struggled to get on the court just because of injuries. I mean, I redshirted my freshman year just to get a year of experience under my belt, and then had the full intention of playing the next year. But during the spring of my freshman year, I ended up rupturing my Achilles. And so I had to have surgery for that. And that was a 6-month recovery process. So I missed out on what would have been my sophomore season. And then, as we all know, coronavirus hit. So that was really tough, not knowing when or if we were going to have a season. And that ultimately got postponed from the fall to the spring. And so I spent time training for that, preparing, working with the team. And then the day before our first match of the season in Colorado, I ended up spraining my PCL. Which, I mean, that was a pretty tough one because it just kind of happened randomly, and it was the night before a game, and I was super excited. And so that took another 6 weeks to kind of rehab and strengthen and come back. But during that time, it kind of made me focus on things that weren't volleyball. And I feel like as a student athlete, you focus so much on your sport and being strong and honing your skills on the court that you kind of just forget about who you are outside of the court. And so when volleyball wasn't an option for me anymore, I really had to sit down and ask myself, okay, what am I passionate about? Like, what can I spend my time doing, working on? And this past year, I feel like I've really came out of my shell. I've been able to really dive into social justice and talking about politics and things like that, that kind of really affect everyone. And even though sports were kind of like on hold for me, I really found ways to grow as a person outside of that.
Today I want to get to know you, and it was great that you start talking about, you know, not necessarily sport, but who you really are. And, because this conversation is not about Naya as a student athlete, it's about Naya who plays sports.
Yeah.
You know? And, but one of the things that I think is very important that you just said, finding growth through adversities. Mm-hmm. And that can mean a lot of stuff, you know, and, you know, you said you faced injuries, but I wanna hear how did you feel? How did you feel whenever you face like a challenge, like getting a huge injury that kind of caused you to lose a season?
Yeah. I think facing injury, it's always heartbreaking because, like I said, you put so much work into what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a sense of like helplessness. You're like, well, because like, who am I without my sport? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important when you go through those things, like any type of adversity, is to say, okay, this doesn't define who I am. There's so much to who I am and who I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. And you just have to find ways to find the light at the end of the tunnel and pick a new goal and build new relationships and work towards that. And that kind of helps lessen the pain of the injury or whatever obstacle you're facing.
But how do you get up, you know, because, you know, it's a dark place, you know. Mm-hmm. when you face that injury, I'm pretty sure at the moment you're like, why the heck this happened to me? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But like, how do you get up?
Getting up, I think you just have to remember your why. Like, why are you doing this? Why do you want to do this? Like, what is your end goal and who you're doing it for? For me, I do it for my family. I do it for my mom and for my dad, who's always believed in me. I do it for my teammates who believe in me and who have always been there for me. And that's my why. It's so easy to get caught in the, whoa, it's me. Why did this happen to me? This is so unfair, but life isn't fair. And it's really just about what you do with the cards that you're dealt with. That's going to have a lasting impact on others.
Family. I think that's a huge part of Naya's journey. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your relationship with your family.
Me and my family, we're really close. We moved around a lot when I was younger because of my dad's job. For those that don't know, my father played in the NFL, so he moved from team to team, and so we kind of moved from state to state until I got into about fifth grade, which is when we kind of settled in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then the summer going into my freshman year of high school, my dad got a coaching job with the Arizona Cardinals, so he's a pro football coach now. Mm-hmm. And so we moved cross country, and as you imagine, you know, a young teenager getting plucked out of her hometown, moved across the country, you don't really know a lot of people. So mm-hmm. having that core relationship with my mom, my dad, and my brother and my sister really helped carry me through, because it can get kind of lonely, especially going into high school, but mm-hmm. always knowing that you have a safety net of people to come home to, that kind of makes the journey easier.
Your dad playing at NFL and then coaching, I'm pretty sure probably most of his time he had to like be out there, practice, mm-hmm. maybe not spend as much as time that he want to mm-hmm. with you and your family. But seeing your dad hustle, what did that teach you?
That taught me to just go out there and do the same thing. I mean, my dad's very competitive. That's where I get it from. And he's always taught me, like, if you want something, you can get it, but you have to work for it. It's not going to be given to you, and no one's going to take pity on you. Mm-hmm. And so I get my work ethic and my dream chasing from him. Mm-hmm. And he's made a ton of sacrifices for my family and so that we can live the life that we live. And I'm just so grateful for all that he's done. And I just hope that I can set the same example for my family one day.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, like, because it's a great experience living in that family mm-hmm. and seeing your dad, your family hustling, working hard, making all the sacrifices. But you said there was times that you felt lonely. Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
Growing up, well, I was a very, very quiet child, very to myself. Didn't really speak much, like didn't really have a problem being by myself. But like I said, that could get lonely at times. And I feel like moving cross country and kind of diving into the world of sports, it kind of forced me out of that shell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one day I was just like, it doesn't have to be this way. Like, I can go out there. Like, I don't have to be alone. I can find friends, build relationships. And I think through sports, that has definitely helped me. And then coming to college, getting involved with SAC and Damn Change, things like that, that has really helped me as well. And I would just like to say, you know, it really sucks to feel lonely and alone, but there's always someone there, like waiting for you to reach out or like waiting to build a connection with you.
I'm going to share my way of, you know, kind of getting involved with community. And for me was when I found out that I don't not necessarily can find a community, I created my own community. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yes. Coming to Oregon State, it's a very white population. And yeah. So naturally as like an African-American female, you're going to want to find people that like look like you and can relate to your experiences. And, this past year, me and a couple of my peers, Joel Walker, Madison Ellsworth, we really sensed that need in the community, especially with everything that was going on a national stage, you know, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. We sat back and we were like, we need each other. We need to find a way to connect with one another and bring others in so that we can have safe spaces so that we don't feel as alone. And that's how we gave birth to Damn Change, which mm-hmm. is our social justice awareness platform and mm-hmm. is all about bringing education, awareness, and bringing community to those who need it most.
You're doing amazing stuff, but, and you talked about your why too. So I wanna start with this question that helps us to think about what you really stand for. And the question is, let's do a quick imagination together, okay?
Okay.
Let's imagine you're turning 80 years old.
Okay.
You're leaving the house to buy some groceries. You know, you go pick up some yogurt and some stuff. You're coming back home and you see a bunch of different cars parked by your house. Mm-hmm. You go inside and you see all of your loved ones, all of your family, friends. They're all there to surprise you for your 80th birthday. For this amazing day, you are receiving a letter from your kids that they are writing this letter to tell you about what you mean to them, what impact you have left in their lives. Naya, I would like to know, what do you really want this letter to say?
That's a deep question. In this letter, I feel like I would want it to say that I was always someone that they could depend on. Like, I was always there for them. It didn't matter the time or the place, I was there for them, giving them support, giving them advice, someone that was kind, yet also could go to battle for them if they needed it. Like, could turn the switch and be really fierce, but also very loving and compassionate at the same time. I think I just want to be a dependable person. I don't want to be someone who's flaky or someone who you can't depend on. I think that's what I would want them to say about me.
Who did you, were there someone that you depended on growing up?
Mm-hmm. Definitely my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom held it down for us, especially with my dad traveling a lot. She made so many things happen for me and my siblings. She's gone through so much and she's persevered through so much that all the sacrifices she made, I could never repay her for that. She is superwoman in my eyes. So she's always there whenever I needed her. Still there for me to this day. I love her so much.
tell her something directly right now.
Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for all that you've ever done for me and all that you will do for me. I promise to take care of you until your last days. I will never put you in a nursing home. You can come live with me and my family. Yeah, I love you.
Fantastic. Naya, do you accept, have you accepted yet who you really are within yourself?
I feel like I have. I feel like I've definitely come to terms with who I am as a person, mm-hmm. but I don't think I have settled for who I am as a person, meaning that I haven't stopped working towards bettering myself in all aspects, academically, athletically, socially, emotionally, mentally. So I would say I am content with who I am, but I'm always trying to find ways to build upon that.
What was the process? I'm asking this question because in my opinion, you know, the whole why, purpose, hustling, it all starts after you really accept who you really are, because that's when you start building a confidence within yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a confidence to go out there and be fine with who you are. What was that process for you?
For me, I feel like, again, when I came to college, that's when that process really started, because coming to college, you're just surrounded with so many different people who grew up differently than you, who have different experiences than you, or like have different morals or beliefs or like different like ways of seeing the world, basically. And so I think that can be very overwhelming for a young 18-year-old girl, just mm-hmm. being presented with all these different paths and possibilities. Yeah. And I think the first step for me was really figuring out what path I wanted to take and what I wanted to learn from other people and maybe adapt that into my system and my way of life, and kind of take what my parents gave me and say, I really like that, or and not so much, I don't really agree with that, and just kind of forging my own path. And I think that took a lot of trial and errors, mistakes, and basically just figuring out what worked for me and what didn't. And a lot of self-reflecting about that too, and about my choices and about different decisions that I have made coming to college, especially during that first year.
From the, what were you, let's start from here first. What were you thinking when you were said, when you decided you want to go college? What did you think like this college experience going to be for you?
I wanted to experience something completely different when I was in college. I wanted to break away from what I had always known. I wanted to go far from my parents, and just kind of just establish myself on my own. And I wanted to be a little bit uncomfortable mm-hmm. because up until this point, I had never really been pushed too far outside of my comfort zone. I had mm-hmm. always been around people that I've known for years, or like done things that I've done since I was a kid. And I wanted to try something new. So when I was looking to go to college, I wanted to find something completely opposite. And if you know Arizona and then you look at Oregon, it is very completely opposite. So that's exactly what I was looking for coming to college.
But was there a reason that you chose a college outside of Arizona?
Mm-hmm. Outside of Arizona?
Yeah. Was that the challenge that you wanted to face, like kind of going mm-hmm. somewhere out of that bubble?
Yes, definitely. I wanted to, one, meet new people, and majority of my high school went to college within Arizona, and I did not want to have college be a repeat of high school. Not that high school was bad, but I just wanted to meet new people, see new perspectives, and experience something new. And then also kind of get the experience of living on my own. Mm-hmm. My older sister, she had went to college in Arizona. We lived in Chandler, and she went to school at Arizona State. So that's about 30 minutes from my house. And she was kind of always around. So like things didn't really change that much, I think, for her, because she always had like my parents right there if she ever needed anything, which is nice. But I kind of wanted to experience having to really problem solve on my own and be a few thousand miles away before having that immediate security blanket, if you know, if that makes sense.
Because you said you growing up, you were depending on your family and you said your mom. So this was like an opportunity for you to kind of become more independent within yourself, yeah. Right?
Exactly. Definitely becoming more independent and kind of just putting everything that my parents and my family has taught me and instilled in me to the test and seeing like, okay, does this work? Like, is this true? Do I like doing this? And kind of just being free to make my own decisions and learn from my own mistakes.
So you talked about mistakes right now. Going through all of your journey, what was the biggest mistake you have made, you think?
Biggest mistake? I don't really know. I don't know. Biggest mistake?
That also taught you a lot too, you know?
Yeah. I would say, I won't go into details, but I think a big mistake that I made is probably through my relationships with my friends, maybe being a little bit too judgmental or a little bit too set in my ways and not being able to really open up to both sides and see both perspectives. And I think that caused maybe a little damage in one of my relationships that honestly is a really good relationship now. I mean, we moved past it, but I think that little rough spot in our relationship could have definitely been bypassed if I had been a little bit more understanding and open-minded to the situation. So that's what I would say.
And kind of learning to be open-minded was the lesson out of it?
Yeah, definitely. Learning to be open-minded and trying to see that two people may not agree, but that doesn't mean that it has to be like the source of tension. Like, okay, you see your way. I understand why you see your way and you see my way and you understand why I do that. And so just kind of finding a common ground where it's like agreeing to disagree and there's no hard feelings. And I think that's something that's really big, especially in our country now, is kind of coming to terms that not everyone's going to agree, not everyone's going to see your way, but that doesn't mean that you have to be enemies or not be friends anymore. It's just kind of accepting people for where they're at and what they believe and still building relationships in spite of that.
That what you just said, it brings me to this one concept of conversation versus argument. Mm-hmm. And which a conversation is when we are just talking, we ask so many questions to understand each other's point of view, but the argument is like we don't listen and we just yell.
Yeah, exactly. I would always say, well, my parents would always tell me, like, are you listening to understand or are you listening to respond? So like mm-hmm. when someone's talking to you, are you actually taking in what they're saying and trying to like understand where they're coming from, or are you just constantly trying to formulate your response to them? And I think that's where a lot of stuff gets lost in translation. It's because that's not really what I meant. Like, you didn't really listen to what I said. And so I think just really taking the time to actually listen and learn to other people, especially when they have different views than you. I think that's definitely an underrated skill.
And I feel like it also causes a lot of overthinking as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like a lot of people, when you don't give like your full attention to listening and trying to understand, you jump to a lot of conclusions. And obviously when you jump to conclusions, you don't get the full picture and you miss out on what they were actually trying to say. And then it turns into this whole big thing and people get offended and they try to defend themselves. And so just taking a breath and not being afraid, like you said, to ask questions, to be like, oh, like, I don't understand what that term mean. What term means, what does that mean? Or, oh, why do you think that way? Or like, how did that happen? Or like, where did you get that information from? Just asking more questions instead of trying to instantly refute everything that they say.
Yeah, that's definitely a skill though. It's a big skill that it takes a good amount of time to learn.
Yeah.
You know, it, as you said, you know, it all starts from like actively listening instead of like actively thinking, well, what should I respond? I think that should be the first step. Naya, you said you overthink.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yes, I am an overthinker. You could ask my coaches, I overthink every little thing. And I think for me, at least, that just comes out of the pure desire to get it right. Like I want to get things right and I want to understand. And if there's one little thing that is causing me to not understand, then I want to know why. Like I want to know what it is. And I am such a person that likes to know why. Why does that happen? Why does that happen? How does it happen? Like just getting down to the very minute details. I mean, I'm a biochemistry major, so I'm all about the details. I like to know why. And, you know, sometimes that's really good, you know, research that helps you formulate your questions. But often in life, you really do not have to. It's not that deep. Like, just to put it simply, is not that deep. You know, it often, the answer is quite literally right in front of you. And it is often the most simple answer. And sometimes I think overthinking, it creates this illusion or like this maze in your head that everything has to be complicated. Everything is this big deal. But if you just boil it down to the basics, it really is just ABC 1, 2, 3. It, not everything is this big complex theory, I guess.
Wow. And also I feel like overthinking causes a lot of negative thoughts.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think I've definitely experienced this, especially coming back from injury when you're rehabbing and you're trying to get back on the court and you're overthinking every body movement. Like, oh, like, is that okay? Like, is my hip aligned? Like, did I land evenly on both feet? Like soft landing, not hard landing. And like that overthinking, it kind of leads you into thinking like, oh, like that was horrible. That was not a good rep. Like, oh, that's bad. Like, oh, like, are you kidding? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, I never would have done that before. Why is my body doing that now? And it just kind of frames the whole situation in a kind of negative light. Whereas if you could kind of reframe that and be like, okay, that wasn't the best rep, but this is where I can improve. Or, oh, look, I couldn't do that a week ago, but I gained some strength back and now I can do it now. And I think changing your mindset and kind of just taking things as they come and not reading into them so much really helps with staying positive rather than falling into the negative spiral.
It happens actually like with the other conversation we just had right now about, you know, friends saying something, you know, you start overthinking as well there too, or like it could be happen a lot, you know, and I think sometimes it's the roots of it is like, first, do you have enough confidence within yourself? And the second, do you accept who you are? And then I feel like these two will help a lot to stop overthinking. Mm-hmm. But overthinking is definitely something that especially, I think people have it in different ages, but when you're in a college and this age is in, I feel like it's in the maximum, you know, because you're questioning every single thing, you know, you get this one text. Why got that text? What does it mean? Oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I want to know, do you have a way of right now stopping it or like kind of dealing with it?
Mm-hmm. Often when I find myself overthinking, it's more often than not in a volleyball setting. So I kind of just like take a deep breath and I repeat affirmations to myself. And I've done this a lot recently, especially like in this last past week. I would always repeat to myself, I am strong, I am prepared, I am capable. And that kind of just reassures me. And that lets me know like, hey, I've done the work. I know what to do. I know how to do it. And now it's just a matter of me going out there and doing it. And it really just boils down the situation, because it's so easy to get lost in everything that's going on. And just having the ability to kind of just like calm it down, like the eye in the middle of the storm, just being cool, calm, and just like finding peace within yourself.
I want to add to what you just said. I was a huge overthinker myself too. And the way I tried to solve it within myself was basically, it's the same as meditation. When you meditate, you are not necessarily stopping your thoughts, because that's, you're going to suffer. Yeah. You're just letting them flow. You just let them flow and you just focus on your breathing. It's the same as with overthinking. Overthinking can be stopped by one, it's simple, but it takes practice of stop being involved within your thoughts. And the way you can do it, you can take a step back and start observing your thoughts. Do not stop them, just start observing their thoughts. What it does is, when you observe your thoughts instead of being involved with them, it reminds you that you are not your thoughts. They are just something in there. You know, they're just coming and going. You're not you are not your thoughts. And that just helps a lot for the thoughts to just not go deeper and deeper. You know, they're like, okay, I'm not getting any attention. You know, when you're not involved with them, because I don't know if you have watched the Inception movie, you know, in that movie, you just keep jumping in because you want to get involved. You know, you want to be there. You want to like, oh, let me go change that. Let me go do that. What happens then? But if you just don't do it and just observe around you and know that you are not your thoughts, it all stops.
Yeah, I feel that. My mom used to tell me, she's like, you are not your feelings, which I feel like is the same way. And so she always encouraged me to say, oh, I am feeling anxious, instead of saying I am anxious, because you're not anxious. You're Naya. Like, you just have this feeling of anxiety and it's not who you are.
I love that.
And it kind of like separates who you are as a person and what you're currently feeling, because that state of anxiety is not going to last forever. It's just a circumstance of your environment at the moment, and kind of being able to separate that helps you deal with it quicker.
No, that's for sure. It's the same thing, you know, anxiety, stress, depression. See, I have this one problem. A lot of people may disagree with me, but I feel like coping is not the right way, because when you cope with something, you basically, you put a cover on it. You know, it can come back. But when you accept it and you just solve it and you pass it by, then it's always in the past. It's not going to be in present. But when you cope with it, as soon as, you know, that cover, you know, it slides, it gets faded away, it's going to come back. So it all comes back to that one thing you just said. You start, got to start observing them. You are not your feelings. And you just got to know that. You just got to know that, yeah, you're not anxious. You're Naya. Yeah, it just reminds me of this movie, Inside Out. I don't know if you've watched it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Your joy. Yeah. Who is Naya as a kid? Not like when you were a kid, but like when you are being a kid within yourself right now, like these days.
Like, who am I? Like, purely who am I?
As a kid, yeah, like when you're like, do not want to be adult and you just want to be kid in the moment. You know, for example, one of the main things I love to do to just be a kid, I watch cartoons. you know, to kind of keep this in my inner child alive. And, you know, like when I do not need to be serious, I'm not serious. I just like be like, I try to be that troublemaker and all this kind of stuff. But how about you, Naya?
For me, when I don't want to be an adult, I am a jokester. I'm very goofy. I like to like sing and like dance and annoy my roommates and like say weird things and make weird noises. I don't know, just like letting like the whole wall down, because I feel like majority of time in practice and in class, like I have to be composed, I have to like be orderly, like have everything together. And like at the end of the day, sometimes I just want to lay on my bed and scream and sing songs and not worry about anything. So yeah, that's who I am. That's my inner kid.
Yeah, I love annoying your roommates. That's something I do too. It's just so fun.
Like, I don't live with my siblings. I have to annoy someone now.
Here we go. Yeah, like some of my roommates say, hey, you're annoying. I'm like, I know, I want you to be.
Like, oh, great, I'm doing my job. Perfect. Yeah.
Do you watch kind of like cartoons? Do you have a favorite type of cartoon or Disney?
Let's see. Cartoons? No, not lately. Unless they're on the TV. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm just like chilling on the couch and they're like on in the background. Teen Titans Go is really good these days. But I'm more of a Netflix person.
Yeah.
My favorite show to binge is probably New Girl. So that's definitely what I put on to pass the time.
All right. Let's get into one of my favorite questions. And that question is, are you relatable, Naya?
Yeah.
If you are, how are you relatable?
Relatable. I feel like I'm relatable because, I mean, we all go through things. I've gone through things and I've gone through letdowns, disappointments, and everyone goes through that. And I feel like seeing someone else go through it too and how they've dealt with it helps relate to like your own personal struggle and how you can help go through whatever you're going through. And I also feel like I'm relatable because, I mean, I'm just an everyday college student going to college, going to class, like trying to get my degree. And I feel like that's something we can all relate to as college students. So
yeah. One thing I think it's definitely relatable between all of us also is we all have our struggles and challenges. They're different in different ways, but we all have them, you know? And it's very important for all of us to understand that like we all face challenges, we all face struggles. There are times that we are like very down, you know, our lows. And it's very important to know that, because when you know that there's also someone else that feels like this, it will help us to get through them easier. Because it gets back to like what we start talking about. You feel like you're not necessarily alone. There is someone that's feeling the same way that you are right now. Yeah. That's very important. Now, we're getting close to the end of the conversation, but what is the biggest lesson you have learned in your life?
The biggest lesson that I've learned in my life is probably define what you're passionate about, chase after it, and don't let anything stop you. Because when you find what you really care about and what you want your mark to be on the world, there's nothing on this earth that will stop you from doing that. And it's like, you shouldn't let anything stop you from doing that, because that is your purpose and that's what you're here to do. And you know, the road will get tough and there'll be letdowns and disappointments, but there'll also be joys and triumphs. And I think following that path is the true path, the only path to true happiness.
Wow. You just said it. You just said it. I was about to add that happiness part after you finished, but you just said it, you know, like, I used to believe you can be happy when you step out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But I started understanding that when you find your why, your passion, your purpose, mm-hmm. that stepping out of comfort zone is just so easy. Mm-hmm. Because there's something, there's this energy within you that just drives you to just do anything that you felt is impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the true happiness. You know, when you are waking up every day without snoozing your alarm to get up and do what you love, mm-hmm. you know, because if you're snoozing your alarm to go to the work, that means like, you're not really interested to go to work. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to. If you loved it, you never like snooze your alarm for to go into like a travel or something because you want to go travel.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. If you, what you're doing is really something you love, you do it and you'll be so happy then. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you a couple of words and tell me how you feel about them within a one word or phrase.
Okay.
Family.
Important.
Important. Volleyball.
Fun.
Injury.
Sad.
Oh, God. Beavers.
Beavers. The best.
Purpose in life.
Purpose in life. Happiness.
Naya Buckner.
Strong.
This conversation.
Valuable.
Thank you so much, Naya.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was amazing talking to you. And again, I did not got disappointed. I always know I'm going to get inspired by these conversations and I never get disappointed with this. So thank you. And we call ourselves Yes I Am because we believe you can put anything in front of it and be that person. Mm-hmm. What does Naya Buckner put in front of Naya? What does Naya Buckner put in front of Yes I Am? Sorry.
In front of Yes I Am?
Yeah. Yes I Am what?
Yes, I am strong. Yes, I am smart. And yes, I am powerful.
Fantastic. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for saying yes to Yes I Am podcast. It's been lovely talking to you. I'm pretty sure whoever that watched this episode will enjoy it so much and get inspired for sure, for sure. There's a lot to learn. And again, everyone just know that we are all relatable to each other. Mm-hmm. If you just know that one simple phrase, life's going to be easier. Life's going to be easier. And yeah, thank you for watching us. Thank you. And we will be back with you next week with a new episode of Yes I Am podcast. And till then, as always, yes, I am.